Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, back home here in Portland, Oregon, and pleased to be here. It's Friday, and therefore it's Brunch with Bernie. Senator Bernie Sanders with us. I think of him as America's senator, the independent in the United States Senate, neither a Democrat nor a Republican. His website, he's got a great newsletter, keep you up to date on what's going on and his take on things at sanders.senate.gov. And Bernie, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Tom, and it was good to see you in Washington the other day.
Yeah, that was very nice. It was very nice sharing some time with you. So, Bernie, your thoughts on this historic event that happened this last week? The Obama presidency, the challenges now. He's like the guy in the old Ed Sullivan show, you know, with 15 plates spinning in the air. The economy, Guantanamo
Bay. That's exactly
Bay,
right.
You know, all this stuff.
That's exactly right. I think, for a start, the inauguration was an extraordinary event. I had the honor of being up there on the inaugural platform with other members of Congress. And you look down at the mall, and literally, as far as the eye could see, there were people. And I think the estimate is there were some 1.5 to 2 million people who were out there to watch the event. And at a time when our country faces so many serious problems, it was really great to be out on the streets and seeing the hope and the excitement on the faces of so many people, including a lot of young people, that in fact, understanding how difficult the mission will be, that we can in fact change the direction of this country from where we have been over the last 8 years. And that was really, really a wonderful feeling. On the other hand, as you just indicated, the challenges facing Obama, the Congress, and the American people are literally unprecedented. They're unprecedented. What we're looking at in terms of our economy is huge increases in unemployment. And when people are losing their jobs, they're losing their homes, they're losing their health insurance, they're losing their ability to send their kids to college. There's a great deal of stress on those families where income is not coming in. Then, meanwhile, you're having city and state governments having a very difficult time providing the basic services from law enforcement on up that people need. Then we also are looking at a $10.6 trillion national debt, which we have got to address. And then we're facing, which we have never faced before, the most serious financial crisis in terms of our banking system that not only this country, but the world has ever seen. And then you have just the overall collapse or disintegration of our healthcare system with 46 million Americans uninsured. You're looking at global warming out there, and the scientists tell us this problem is more serious than they had thought several years ago. And then you got a war in Iraq and a war in Afghanistan. Now, I don't know if that's 15 plates up in the air simultaneously.
It's a bunch.
But that is. And that's just some of the issues that are out there. I mean, just trying to balance all of these things and understanding the interconnectedness between all of these things. So we've really got a job on our hands. I think the good news is that in Barack Obama, we have a guy who is extraordinarily smart. I think he has a sense of history. And while I may not agree with him on every single issue, I think you are going to see some bold steps in addressing the many crises that we face. Now, right now, as we speak, and also I should say that I was very pleased that his first executive orders, which he signed just yesterday, directed the CIA to shut down what remains of its network of secret prisons, and he ordered the closing of Guantanamo detention camp within a year. So I think in doing that, what he is telling the world is that the United States once again, is going to take his position as a moral leader in the world. We don't do torture. We don't do secret detention camps. And we intend to work with the rest of the world, the international community, to begin to address many of these enormously serious problems, which are just not American problems. We need the international community to come together. And I think that was a very important first step. In terms of the economy, and people should understand that the economic crisis is connected to but also different than the financial crisis, and they're going to require different remedies. But in terms of the economy, it was very interesting, Tom. I was at a meeting yesterday with some of the leading mainline economists in America, including Marty Feldstein, who is a Republican. Mm-hmm. And you know what their analysis was, is that the $800 billion stimulus package that we're talking about, which 6 months ago seemed like an extraordinary sum of money, right, much more than anyone was even dreaming of, these guys are saying it may not be enough.
Yeah.
That we may have to, in fact, invest more. Because the challenge that we face now is to not allow this economy to go from a deep recession into a depression. Because once you're in a depression, it is very hard to put the pieces back together again. It will be very long. It will be incredibly painful for working families around this country. So despite the huge national debt and the record-breaking deficits, what the economists are telling us that we have to invest in America, put millions of people back to work. Now, we have had, without going into all of the arcane details here, both the House and the Senate are moving rapidly in terms of the stimulus package. The House has gone a bit faster. And what we are looking at is an investment of many, many billions of dollars in infrastructure, which means rebuilding our roads, bridges, water systems, older schools, and mass transportation, traditional infrastructure. In addition to that, and Obama has talked about this from day one of his campaign, and he is still talking about it, the absolute imperative to move this country away from foreign oil. We import, I think the number is something like $700 billion a year of foreign oil into this country, to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. And you're going to see in this stimulus package alone, more money going into energy efficiency, into weatherization, to making sure that our homes and our buildings are energy efficient. You're going to see money going into the development of wind turbines, solar, geothermal, biomass, and the real beginning of the energy revolution, which people have been talking about for decades, but which we have got to move forward now on, not only to become energy independent, not only to lower greenhouse gas emissions to deal with global warming, but also, in this case, to, over a period of time, create millions of good-paying jobs. So that's very exciting. I think we're also cognizant in this stimulus package that a lot of people are being hurt who are losing their jobs, so we have to make sure that we extend unemployment, that we make sure that nobody in this country goes hungry, nobody goes cold, that cities and states are able to maintain their basic services despite the huge deficits that they are running up. So those are some of the areas that we're looking at in terms of the stimulus package or the economic recovery program. Now, the other issue that we also have to address simultaneously is the financial crisis. And this is a very, very, very tough issue because we've never been there before and no one has any magical solution. But one thing I can tell you, our friends on Wall Street have pulled off the biggest financial scam in the history of the world. And if I have anything to say about it, and I do, we are going to hold these people accountable, these people who have made individually, in some cases, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars over the years, given themselves incredible bonuses. And they were not content with making 10, 15, 20% rates of return profits every year. They needed to make 30 and 40. They needed to create these exotic financial instruments that very few people understand. They were incredibly reckless, probably illegal. And what we need is a thorough investigation. We need to name the names of the people who have taken us over the edge. We need also to make sure, as we learn about how we got into this disaster, to make sure that we develop policies which prevent us from going down this road again. We can't afford to do that again. And that means bringing back in a very big time way re-regulation, It means telling our friends on Wall Street that there's going to have to be transparency, that there's going to have to be accountability. But I can tell you that to do the right thing, to do what has to be done, will be, require a just a tremendous effort, because these Wall Street guys are very, very powerful. So that's the work that Obama has on his plate, and as Americans, we have on our plate. And I hope that one of the differences between an Obama administration, and I'm confident this will be the case, he'll talk straight to the American people. He'll treat us, the American people, with intelligence. There will be an honest discussion, conversation about how we go forward. These are very, very complicated and difficult issues. I met at a meeting with Obama a couple of weeks ago. What he promised is he's going to keep the grassroots of this country activated, and we certainly need that to be the case.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because it's, as you've said so many times, Bernie, it's we the people. It's us.
That's what it is.
We got to do it. Hey, we're talking with Senator Bernie Sanders. He'll be taking your calls right after this moment to stimulate the economy. Our own way of stimulating the economy. Stick around. We'll be right back. Tom Hartman here with you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9. AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Introducing Blue Ink, Portland's full-service screen printer specializing in t-shirts, sweatshirts, bags, and all other textiles. Make more than a shirt. Make a statement with your company and events. For quality and dependability, log on to BluePDX.com and find out how you can buy local and promote your business.
Merrill Hurst University's next graduate school information session is at 10 a.m. January 24th on the historic Merrill Hurst campus. 7 dynamic graduate degree programs will be featured. For details, visit merrillhurst.edu.
The digital transition is coming on February 17th. Act now and beat the rush. If you haven't called yet, tomorrow is your last day to get Comcast free instant installation. Call 1-800-COMCAST by 3 p.m. today, and we'll install your cable by the end of the day for free. Call after 3 p.m. and get free installation tomorrow. Choose either free limited basic cable for 12 months when you sign up for phone or internet service, or limited basic cable service for just $10 a month for 12 months. Don't wait. Comcast free instant install makes it easy to get ready for the digital transition happening on February 17th, 2009. Instant install ends tomorrow. Call 1-800-COMCAST by 3 p.m. and get Comcast free instant install in your home today. Applies to all video installations. Limited to standard installation of one pre-wired cable outlet. Call for restrictions and complete details. Offer ends January 24, 2009. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to new residential customers. After promotional period, regular charges apply. Equipment taxes and franchise fees extra. For more information, call 1-800-COMCAST.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
AutoZone. Are you overdue for an oil change? If so, don't put your car's engine at risk.
Get in the zone.
Now at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for just $16.99. That's right, $16.99. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Don't wait until it's too late. Maximize your engine's life and performance. Get to AutoZone. Do it yourself and save.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Brunch with Bernie, our regular Friday segment where Senator Bernie Sanders takes your calls and answers your questions. 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number, although all the lines are slammed right now, as is usually the case. And, of course, if you want to drop into our live chat room, TomHartman.com, Bernie's website, Sanders.Senate.gov. And we are running our live free video stream right now at AirAmerica.com. Mike in Croton, New York. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Senator. Thanks for taking my call. I just first wanted to say that I've contributed to your campaigns in the past. It's the best contributions I've ever made.
Thank you very much, Mike.
My question is there a recognition that the TARP money being spent as it has been is not working, and that the government and the taxpayers are going to be left holding the bag at the end of the day for the expense of these propping up these banks?
Mike, the answer is yes. As I mentioned a moment ago, I just met the other day along with other senators with three of the leading economists in the country, and basically you say to them, well, what do you think? Did the TARP do what it was supposed to do? Did Paulson accomplish what he said he wanted to do? And the answer is no, he did not. I should reiterate here, I voted against it because I feared very much with the overall incompetence of the Bush administration that they could not do what they said they wanted to do. They're too close to the banking industry. And third of all, I believe from the very beginning that given the fact that over most of the Bush era, the people on top had made out like bandits while the middle class had seen an economic decline. I did not think it was the middle class that should have to bail out these guys, but it should be a surtax on the top 1%. So to answer Mike's question, yes, there is a general recognition that the goals that former Treasury Secretary Paulson established did not work. Credit remains very, very tight. All, Mike, that these guys can say is, well, yeah, it really didn't work, but if we hadn't done it, the situation could have been even worse. Well, maybe. But on the other hand, if you took $350 billion and you took helicopters all over America and you dropped it out on Main Street, we'd also have some improvement as well, I suppose. I voted against the second $350 billion as well because while I trust the Obama administration far more, and they have come up with some paper telling us what they want to do. They want to focus on foreclosures. They want to make sure that the money is more directed to ordinary people rather than to just Wall Street. I have real continued concerns. And this issue of how you stop the hemorrhaging, how you stop putting in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars into propping up banks who cause their own problem through their greed and irresponsibility is the daunting issue that we have to face. And that is something certainly that many of us are trying to figure out.
Gene in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, good morning. And Senator Sanders, I have an article here from 1990, the New York Times, when it says in here, Mr. Sanders says his agenda in Congress will include lower limits on campaign spending. And I want to hold you to that because I think the campaign spending is a bigger problem than the campaign contributions. I mean, the campaign spending, you know, first of all, the campaigns, they have to, well, how far to the right do you have to be to get enough funding from the moneyed interests? And then they outspend each other after that to win their races.
Gene, you are right. What I said in 1990 is truer today. The amount of money that has been spent in campaigns, just spent in the 2008 campaign, is obscene. And we have to address that issue. But I have to tell you, Gene, it is directly related to campaign fundraising as well. What ends up happening is big money and wealthier people continue to dominate the fundraising process, although I should say that Obama kind of broke the mold and did get a huge number of campaign contributors who were smaller campaign contributors, $10 and $50, and that's the right direction. But ultimately, what we do need to do is pass public funding of elections so that politicians and candidates and incumbents do not have to spend half their life raising money and can be beholden to ordinary people rather than just their contributors.
Yeah. Amen. Tim in Detroit, Michigan, listening on WDTW. You're on the air with Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Good afternoon, Tom and Senator Sanders. I wanted to ask regarding the stimulus package. In my view, the Republicans are going to do everything they can to stop the stimulus package. I think they'll sort of filibuster it in the Senate. I think they'll put up a lot of roadblocks in the House, although I understand some of the parts of the package are going forward. So my question is, how are the Democrats going to be able to stop a lot of the Republican shenanigans?
Well, this time we have more votes than we had last time, so that will make the job a lot easier, Tim. We have 58 votes right now. We expect Al Franken of Minnesota to be seated, and we will then have 59. I think the American people want action. Our economy is in crisis. People are losing jobs every single day. They're losing their health care. And if I were Republican, I would not try to obstruct that effort to put people back to work.
And but John Boehner's already out there. John Kyle.
Let John Boehner be out there and John Kyle. I think we will get the votes. We have to get the votes, and we will get the votes.
Yeah. Good. 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 Good news. Senator Bernie Sanders with us. It's our Brunch with Bernie Hour here on the Tom Hartman radio program on Air America Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back after this moment to stimulate the economy. I kind of like that meme of, you know, as we're going into a break, we're going to stimulate the economy here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you on the Tom Hartman radio program. It's our Brunch with Bernie Hour. Senator Bernie Sanders, sanders.senate.gov is website, and of course ours, tomhartman.com, however you spell it, should get you there, and airamerica.com for our free live video stream. And Bernie, back to the phone calls here. Bernie, I'm sorry. There you go. Bernie, back to the phone calls.
Yeah, yes, let's do it.
Yes, sir. Kenny in Baltimore, Maryland, you're on with Senator Sanders.
Hey, Sanders, how you doing, Senator?
Good.
I just want to know, why don't we take that $350 million TARP money and take and create a nationalized bank that we can lend to these businesses and everything that qualify for lending, and that will force all these other banks to either go out of business or start competing and start lending?
Well, Kenny, you raise a very interesting issue. And the issue is, and I'm not unsympathetic to what you're saying, the issue is that we have put so much money into the banking system, and yet you have banks today who are charging people 28, 29% on their credit cards. What are we getting out of this investment? And Kenny raises an interesting issue. How do you, in a sense, circumvent the greed and the dishonesty of these major financial institutions and get money and credit out to people? And I'm not unsympathetic to what Kenny has to say.
Yeah, there was a full-page ad in the New York Times day before yesterday in the international edition. I read it over breakfast in the hotel that pointed out that Goldman Sachs, which received, I think, $35 billion, has just made a multi-billion-dollar investment in a Japanese company.
You know, they're,
in other
buying
words, here's
Japanese
the
company. This is nuts.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. What we're saying is we're giving these large financial institutions who are only concerned about their own rate of profit and their own dividends and their own bonuses, we're saying to them, here, we're giving you money. Please do something good with it. Well, you know, I'm not so sure that that is necessarily the proper approach.
Yeah, in Sweden, they bought the banks. And when they finally sold them off, they made a great profit on it. I mean, the Swedish model was a really, really solid one. And Gordon Brown sort of did that with Northern Rock. And
all that I could say, Tom, this is you know, enormously complicated stuff. But I think Kenny's point is well taken.
Yep.
That's an idea that we've got to pursue.
Philip in Boca Raton, Florida, listening on WINS. Philip, you're on the air. Philip? No, Philip, you got to listen to your phone instead of to your radio. Let's see here. Sean in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Sean. You're on the
air. Senator Sanders, there's a book out now called Traitor to His Class about how Franklin Roosevelt had economic policies that stabbed his own rich friends in the back. To what extent do you believe that the so-called democratization of the stock market might actually be getting in the way of the new administration and their ability to do things that are actually hostile to Wall Street? It seems like so long as people believe that, well, because I've got $20,000 in my 401k, they actually envision themselves as part of the quote-unquote investor class, so they worship people like Warren Buffett and that sort of thing. This all seems like Babbittry to me. You know, Sinclair Lewis wrote that book, Babbitt, in 1922, where you actually get people to vote against their own interests because you convince them to think like business people, and they're not business people.
No, that's a – Sean, you make a very good point. You know, they're – the right wing – has spread this mythology, and that's what Bush's so-called ownership society was about. Well, we can all invest. We can all become very, very wealthy, and it's every person for themselves. And if you're really smart, you invest wisely, and you become a great entrepreneur, you're going to make all kinds of money. Meanwhile, what we saw over the last 8 years is the collapse of the middle class, an increase in poverty, people losing all their health insurance and their pensions, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe we'd better be thinking about not how Mr. Jones or Mrs. Smith can become multimillionaires, but how all of us can have a decent standard of living and educate our kids and have health care. But the issue that we need to understand right now is taking on these very, very powerful special interests, and it is Wall Street. It is the energy companies. It is the military-industrial complex. It is the drug companies. These people have spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbyists, on campaign contributions. They are very powerful. And the challenge that we face is if we are going to move this country in a direction that benefits working families, you're going to have to take on these guys every single step of the way, which is why we have to be organized at the grassroots level and be prepared to be active politically, because Obama and many of us in the Congress are going to need that grassroots support.
David in Federal Way, Washington, you're on with Senator Bernie Sanders, listening on Talk 1090.
Hey, I wanted to inquire about what the future of things like the Environmental Protection Agency and things like that, because under the Bush administration, I know that they were basically nulled and voided out. And I wanted to know about the future of, water quality, air quality.
Good.
And jobs in those fields, too.
Very good, David. A very important question. I mean, we can go on and on and on about the disastrous 8 years of George Bush, but certainly pretty close to the top of the list is their disregard for the environment, for hiring polluters and former lobbyists for special interests that pollute to assume important positions within environmental protection. I think you already heard President Obama make a very radical statement that he believes in science. Now, that's a major step forward already.
Mm.
So I think what you are going to see, and I met some of these people, serious people who understand that we have got to protect the water of this country, the air that our kids breathe, the food that we eat. And I think you're going to see a significant and fundamental change in those environmental agencies over what Bush had.
Annette in Leiden, New Jersey. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Mr. Sanders. How are you?
I'm great.
I have a question. After what's been said on the Keith Olbermann show the last two nights about the NSA wiretapping and spying on people, is there anything going to be done about it? Is there any reaction from the president or the White House or other senators about this?
Yes. I think what you're going to see, and you are seeing it, you've already seen the president issue executive orders directing the CIA to shut down what remains of our secret prisons and end torture and so forth and so on. I think you are going to see a thorough review of many, many of the policies of the Bush administration, which attacked our constitutional rights and our civil liberties. You may have heard during President Obama's inaugural speech where he talked about the need to be vigorous in fighting international terrorism, but doing it within the context of law. And by that, he meant exactly what this caller is referring to. We are going to respect civil liberties and the Constitution of the United States, which is a significant change over the last 8 years.
Bob in Clifton, Tennessee, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Good afternoon, both of you. Senator Sanders, this is a nation of laws, I have heard again and again. In fact, we probably have more laws than any person knows. I'd be interested in your estimation of how many laws we have, but I'm calling about a two-tiered justice system. I know a young man who has recently been sentenced to 10 years in prison for selling a small amount of marijuana. Yet these financial criminals are given home. They're not given anything. Why do we have such a disparate justice system in our country?
Well, Bob, that is an excellent and important question that I think you're also going to be seeing a lot of work done on. To answer your question, the reason we have a disparate justice system is we have a disparate system of wealth and income in America, and the people who have the money are the people who write the rules, and the people who write the rules are not necessarily interested in punishing their own. To my mind, just to pick up on the point that Bob made, the people at Wall Street, through whose greed and irresponsibility and illegal actions have caused this massive economic crisis, deserve to be punished and punished very severely. They have committed a very, very, very serious crime, which has impacted the lives of tens of millions of people and more people around the world. Right now, to answer Bob's question, we have more people in jail than does China. Tom, did you know that?
Yeah, both on an absolute number and on a per capita number, we're number
Absolutely.
One in the world.
We are number one in the world, and Bob's point is that there are people in jail who should not be in jail. There are people who are not in jail who should be in jail. And I think we need to take a very hard look at our penal system and our criminal justice system. And I can tell you, Bob, that there are people who are in the process of doing that right now.
Let me just toss in, Bernie, we've got about 20 seconds here before we got to take a break. Maybe we should reconsider having a private prison system, because we now have a for-profit industry that lobbies for laws so that they get more clients, that being
Tom,
prisoners.
There's going to be a hard look at a lot of the privatization efforts over the last 8 years, not only in the penal system, but in the military as well.
Yeah, because that was the major bricks and mortar growth industry in the United States. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, was building private prisons.
Right.
I mean,
putting our own people in jail and creating jobs in the process.
Right. Yeah. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Senator Bernie Sanders with us, taking your calls on the Tom Hartman program, our Brunch with Bernie Hour. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Check out Bernie's website at sanders.senate.gov, excuse me. Ours is tomhartman.com, and, of course, airamerica.com for our free live video stream today as well. 45 minutes after the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now, the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should, too, today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Ed Schultz.
So there's going to have to be some more discussion about this. Which is healthy? Which is positive?
Noon to 3.
And I think that we as lefties have got to make sure we know how to embrace all this stuff.
He calls them the way he sees them.
Just because Pelosi and Obama may disagree on the timing of the repealing of the Bush tax cuts doesn't mean that it's nuclear war.
The Ed Schultz Show.
There's going to be more than enough stuff to talk about.
Noon to 3. AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
Did you know that most credit counselors are working for the credit card companies? It's true. They're practically collection agencies themselves. Don't turn over your financial future to them, because I've got a system that can eliminate your debt once and for all. To prove it, I'll send you a powerful free tape today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Don't hand over your future to credit counselors. Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape today. Call 1-800-600-9841 for your free tape. Call 1-800-600-9841. 1-800-600-9841.
Spa. Emergency 3-day bank approved.
Spa, swim spa, barbecue pool, and sauna liquidation.
This weekend only.
At the Portland Expo Center.
Over 100 spas on display and everything must go.
Six-person spas now only $39.95.
Spa and gazebo packages 50% off.
Save thousands at a revolutionary swim spa.
See the revolutionary swim spa in action and save up to 60%.
Exercise with low impact. Swim the entire year and stay in shape.
Teach your kids to swim.
Unwind and save thousands.
Avoid the expense and maintenance involved with a pool.
You can do it all.
Swim, exercise, and relax in your new aquatic exercise swim spa.
Installation in one day only.
Emergency 3-day bank approved.
Spa, swim spa, barbecue pool, and sauna liquidation.
Total liquidation.
Four-person spa slashed to only $19.95.
Saunas up to 70% off.
Barbecue island 60% off.
12 months interest-free financing.
Emergency bank approved.
Spa, swim spa, barbecue pool, and sauna liquidation.
At the Portland Expo Center.
Friday, noon to 9.
Saturday, 9 to 9.
Sunday, 10 to 6.
Free admission.
Call 1-888-SPA-SALE.
That's 1-888-SPA-SALE. 1-888-SPA-SALE.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters. Proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act. Go to Teamster.org for more information. And just a very quick heads up, February 26th and 27th, I'll be in Washington, D.C. for the Radio Row at the Conservative Political Action Conference. We'll be doing our show from there. On March 7th, Saturday, I'll be in Seattle. We're doing a one-day cruise with Talk 1090. On March 19th, Thursday, I'll be in Chicago, Illinois, debating Michael Medved. That's sponsored by our Chicago affiliate, WCPT. And on May 1st and 2nd, Friday and Saturday, in Denver, Colorado, I am keynoting the Green Festival. Bernie Sanders is with us. It's our Brunch with Bernie hour. And Bernie taking your calls Richard in Detroit, Michigan. You are on the air with Senator Sanders.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Senator Sanders. I always enjoy the Brunch with Bernie segment of the program, and my question is I'm really wondering about the Fourth Amendment rights that need to be restored. And Senator Sanders, I'm wondering if you have considered doing things to restore the Fourth Amendment along with those in community groups and at the grassroots level. I myself work with BlackBoysInCrisis.com, and we're going to be paying attention to these Fourth Amendment issues like the FBI no-knock rule, the wiretapping. I believe these things are very, very important to get restored, to really restore that Fourth Amendment. And I believe that President Obama probably knows that historically the black community has been really hit by these things like wiretapping and spying and things historically. I would think that he would really want to, but now that, you know, some of these things are in his power, he might not be as pressed as he normally would, you know, as a black leader to address these things. And I'm hoping that someone within the Senate.
Well, Richard, you're quite right in saying that the African-American community has been terribly hard hit by police and law enforcement illegalities, no question about it. But it's an American problem as well, and I think we will probably find out in the coming months just how far the illegal surveillance efforts of the Bush administration went. To me, the bottom line here is really not complicated. International terrorism is a serious issue. I think all of us want to make sure we never see a 9/11 in this country again or anyplace else in the world. But in my view, my strong view, we can be effective, we can be strong, we can win in the fight against international terrorism and do that in a way that does not undermine our basic constitutional rights or our civil liberties. And I was very pleased that Barack Obama made that point in so many words during his inaugural address. So I think, Richard, you will see action on that, and you will see a major effort undo many of the illegal actions on the part of the Bush administration.
Dan in Boston, Massachusetts, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hey, good morning, Bernie. Good morning, Tom. Good afternoon, rather. I'm sorry. My question is about the TARP funds. We know the first $350 was ill-spent and under no review as to where the money went. What assurances do we as taxpayers have that the next $350 or the $850 is well-spent? And a caveat to that, is there any chance that he spoke of us needing to sacrifice? Has there been any mention of rationing our natural resources such as water, vegetation that we grow, and gasoline? Has there been any discussion on rationing?
Well,
like a consumer card, you're allowed X amount. I mean, it seems to make.
Well, Dan, I think there has not been a discussion about rationing in the sense that you're mentioning it. But what there has been is a major discussion, and there will be major action in terms of energy efficiency, so that we do not waste the enormous amount of energy that we currently waste. In terms of the TARP fund, you're absolutely right. The first $350 billion was done with virtually no transparency, no accountability. I voted against the second $350 billion because I still have that concern. But what the Obama people are doing, what Larry Summers, his economic advisor, is doing, is putting into writing where they intend to spend some of that money at least. And certainly there's going to be a lot more attention to the foreclosure crisis and making sure that people are able to retain their homes, that the value of homes in America does not rapidly decline. So you're seeing more transparency from the Obama administration already. But to my mind, how that money is spent, how much is spent, whether giving this money to banks in general is the best way to loosen up credit and help small businesses, that's an issue that needs a lot of discussion.
Dan, thanks for that call, and thanks for listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Anthony in Seattle, Washington, listening on Talk 1090. Anthony, you're on the air with Senator Sanders.
Bernie, Tom has been harping about this for the last couple of days, and that is the holdup on the Eric Holder nomination by Senator Arlen Specter. And this is just a precursor to essentially the rest of the Obama administration. Why don't you get on Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to do away with the filibuster and do the nuclear option? We need to steamroll these Republicans. We need to do that to get anything done.
Well, first of all, what I would say is I was actually presiding in the Senate the other day when I think seven or eight of Obama's nominees went through. Clinton was held up for a day. She went through with just two dissenting votes. Holder is going to be nominated. I think if I were Arlen Specter or I were some other John Cornyn or some other people who wanted to play an obstructionist role, I would be very, very nervous. Specter is up for election in Pennsylvania in 2 years. I think the people in his state are watching it. So let's see how it unfolds. We now have 58 votes. We just passed a very significant piece of legislation yesterday, the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which will allow women to get a fair shake in terms of not being discriminated against. We are going to pass the S-CHIP bill, providing 6 million more children with health care next week. So I think we're making some progress, but believe me, Anthony, we're going to move as rapidly as we possibly can.
Bernie, we are so grateful that you are there in the Senate fighting for all of us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tom.
And thanks for being on the program. Coming up next, Anything Goes Friday. We'll be back with your calls right after this. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide. 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Anything Goes Friday. Tom Hartman here with you. We'll be taking your calls. I just want to share a couple things with you first, though. Just bouncing around the news today, some of the things that are going on. Gold just broke over 900. It's dropped back down below that. The stock market is down. These are indicators to me, and this isn't to plug gold. I know they're one of our advertisers is selling gold. I think that there are we all need to have a diversified investment portfolio, as it were. If you have any money that you have, but And perhaps a good chunk of that might be $100 bills under the mattress. I'm concerned. But although I talked last week about the possibility of a run on the bank or even bank shutdowns, the problem that back in the 30s with the run on the bank was people showed up and said, I want my cash. Now pretty much all banking is done electronically. People have credit cards. People have debit cards. So it may be a very different dynamic, but the point that I wanted to make in that context is that if there is a significant system-wide bank failure in the United States, and I think that there's at least a 20 or 30% chance of that happening in the next 18 months, it will probably come seemingly out of the blue, out of nowhere. Just like this last stock market crash did, the whole financial meltdown, seemingly out of nowhere. Although people have been warning about it for years, and people have been warning about this. In today's Financial Times, Tim Geithner. Outspoken comments yesterday by Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary Designate. The President Barack Obama thinks China is manipulating its currency, broke a key Bush administration taboo, and caught experts and markets by surprise. And this is very interesting stuff. China has already, in effect, halted the previously steady of slow pace of currency appreciation. In other words, making Chinese imports into the United States more expensive is the bottom line. And by keeping their currency down, they can keep their stuff cheap into the United States and keep keep themselves as America's factory floor, manufacturing floor. Meanwhile, the U.S. is preparing this giant $825 billion financial stimulus that will moderate the decline. So that is going on. Japan now, two years of contraction, but it's still a strong economy. People, if you're Japanese, you still have a national health insurance program. You still have, there is a strong social safety net. There is strong unemployment. What we're seeing all across the United States right now, and this is one of the things that concerns me the most. I know of, for example, a company that is part of a national company that generated its statewide division generated a multi-million dollar profit last year. And yet they were ordered to lay off a bunch of people. This is happening all over the country. And one of the reasons why is because you get these very, very large corporations who are saying, let's squeeze every nickel we can out of these companies and out of the American worker. Increasingly, even large and financially doing very well, thank you very much, companies are laying off people in part because they can, because they don't have union contracts with these people. We're down to 7% of the private workforce being unionized, having some sort of employment security and union contract. And even, you know, if you're in a good, solid union, you even can get backstop for a while in addition to your unemployment benefits if there's a layoff or something like that. But you've got somebody fighting for you. And now, and this is one of the reasons the Republicans are going to go to the mat on the Employee Free Choice Act. They are going to fight this like it's World War II. Because these companies are, even profitable companies, are using this recession as an excuse to screw workers, to take people who are doing good, solid work on a 40-hour week and say, sorry, you're going to, you know, out of, there's three people in your group and we're going to lay off one of them, so the other two of you are now going to have to do a third more work in those 40 hours. Maybe you're going to have to work 50 hours. Particularly with people who are not paid by the hour, which is the majority of the white-collar jobs in this country, so that they can simply say, you know, sorry, you got to do the job, and people are going to have to take their computers home. They're going to be working 50, 60, 70-hour weeks. We're back to the Dickensian world. We're all Bob Cratchit now. And the tragedy of this is that while this is enriching the guys at the top, and this is enriching a few of the stockholders. And one of the callers earlier who was talking to Bernie about Babbittizing America, so right on, that people think that because they've got $20,000 in their 401k or $5,000 or even $100,000, that they're stockholders, that they've got a stake in the American economy, and the American economy is the stock market. I'm sorry, the American economy is not the stock market, number one. And number two, the whole 401k thing, this whole thing that was pushed starting with the Reagan administration, was an attempt to get people out of pensions and away from Social Security. Why? Because then people would start thinking that their interests coincided with those of the super wealthy. This is the agenda. The agenda is to change the way Americans think about what the economy is. What the economy really is how wages are doing. Wages are the driver of demand in the economy. And yet you won't even find a single page in any of America's newspapers today devoted to labor. Yet 30 years ago and for 200 years before that, virtually every newspaper in America had at least a page and very often an entire section devoted to labor, because everybody got it, that labor was what drives everything. And there has been this process of making people think that the stock market is the economy and that we've got to help out the side. And this is why people went along with, oh, yeah, let's give the banks $350 billion. Let's give them $700 billion because, you know, we can't afford for the stock market to fall. Because that's our retirement. It's our 401ks. Because we got suckered in to having these savings plans rather than saying, you know, what we should have been saying, what I was saying back 20 years ago when this craziness started with IRAs and then SEP IRAs and then Roth IRAs and then the 401ks and all this stuff. In fact, maybe it was even more than 20 years ago. Whenever it was that it started, was this is the opening salvo on the war against Social Security. Because 40 years ago, you could retire on Social Security. You couldn't live high on the hog, but you could retire on Social Security. And about half of American workers, 30 years ago, before Ronald Reagan started this absolute trashing of the American economy and the American worker, 30 years ago, 25% of our workforce was unionized. They had pensions. And a pension, by the way, for those of you who don't understand the difference between a pension and a 401k, a 401k is a savings account. And you hope that you die before you run out of your savings account. Because if you outlive your savings account, you are in tragic and terrible trouble. A pension, on the other hand, which is Social Security, is a form of a pension. A pension is, they're typically administered by insurance companies. And basically a pension says, okay, you're going to get a certain percentage of your pay, of your salary, adjusted for inflation over time, so that you can always live comfortably no matter how long you live. And so if everybody, say, hypothetically retired at 65 and with a pension, there are some people who are going to die at 66. And even though they paid tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars into that pension fund over the 40 years that they were working, they only get a few bucks because they died. There are other people who are going to live to 95, and they're going to get their pension payment every single month until 95. And they're going to get out actually more than they paid in. And the conservatives have been running around saying, this isn't fair. It's not fair that some people get more than they paid into Social Security. No, it is eminently fair. It is the best way to make the system work, because we have absolute security knowing that no matter how long or how short we live after we retire, that there is a known amount, a known benefit coming to us. And with a 401k, you simply have a savings account. And if you got a $500,000 in your savings account, well, maybe that'll last you 10 years. Maybe it'll last you 20. Maybe if you get sick, it'll last you 6 weeks. But that's all you got. There's nothing after that. There is a huge difference between a pension and a savings account, between Social Security and 401ks. And 401ks and their ilk, their brethren. Somebody called this show. Actually, I think it was a debate I was having with a conservative a while ago, and he says, "Well, you know, you've got a 401k, don't you? You know, after all, you've made a fair amount of money in your life, and you've invested." And I said, "No, I do not have a 401k. I have nothing in any of those tax deferred funds, because I think on principle that it's crazy, and I don't want all the restrictions that go with them. The money that I have in savings is money that I paid taxes on, and you know, I invest it and I pay taxes on that. I'm just not going to play that game. And it might be financially dumb, but I don't think so. A. And B, we need to have a conversation in this country about the difference between a pension and a savings account, and get back to the idea of having pensions for Americans like virtually all Europeans do, like Japanese do, like South Koreans do, like Taiwanese do, like most of the developing countries in the world and developed countries in the world. They've got to figure it out. Why not? Why can't we?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Reason number 48 to switch to Geico.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge a premium to your credit card. It's easy, and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's wrong for businesses to do stuff like that.
That's the real voice of someone who reported the illegal copying of software at the office. Were you concerned about what might happen?
I just want everyone to know that the confidentiality with them is great.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
Oh, I feel great about doing this. It was the right thing to do.
That's nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
We cannot let the American porn industry go down.
Randy Rhodes.
So why is the porn industry asking for a bailout? I know that I've given the porn industry at least $5 billion myself, so there's no need for the bailout, Larry.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
If you cannot make money by producing pornography in this country,
3 to 6,
you are pretty much freaking hopeless.
On AM 620 KPOJ
and 620KPOJ.com.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, dial 1-800-291-5421. That's 1-800-291-5421. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Dial 1-800-291-5421. That's 1-800-291-5421.
All right, construction crews, everybody ready?
Ready in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Honolulu. Oh, who's in Honolulu?
It's Tim from Boston. I just got transferred to Hawaii. Wicked good weather they got here.
Buy one Motorola i576 phone for $69.99. Get up to four free with Sprint, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9. Only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Offers for eligible business accounts only. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to two-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere. For information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
Anything goes Friday, 21 minutes past the hour, here on the Tom Hartman program.
Have you seen the bigot piggies in the starched white shirts?
Yes, those piggies in their white shirts.
Bigot piggies staring at the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around.
Our piggy alert for the day. Sarah Palin's $180,000 worth of clothing. Indeed, the story could not come at a more inopportune time for the McCain campaign, as the Republican ticket is trying to highlight its connection to the working class and promote Joe the Plumber. It was revealed that Palin's fashion budget was four times the median salary of the American plumber. Put it another way, Palin received more valuable clothes in 1 month than the average American household spends in clothes. Excuse me. Don't eat an orange before you go on the air. Palin received more valuable clothes in 1 month than the average American household spends on clothes in 80 years. A Democrat put it in even blunter terms. Palin's clothes were the cost of health care for 15 or so people. And where are those clothes now? They're stuffed in trash bags at the headquarters of the Republican National Committee, the RNC headquarters. Stuffed in trash bags. There you go. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Robert in New York City. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, yes. I was really happy to hear. First of all, I was like, what you were talking about, why don't they have like a labor party? And then they would, you know, if the unions had like a labor party, then they would be...
Well, it's called the Democratic Party, and they need to get back to their roots.
Really? Okay. I was really happy to hear Bernie Sanders talk about, he was more adamant than I've ever heard anybody talk about the, responsibility of Wall Street. But I've seen several attempts in the media to explain what happened, and it was like all this... you know, impossible to understand, you know, explanation. And, in the mainstream media, I think until they really say, you know, and embarrass the banks about charging high interest rates, will anything be done? I mean, unless, you know, it's really great to hear you, but I don't think, there's ever going to be any trust. Or, I mean, it's just like, I feel really incredibly awful about this. I can't understand why.
Yeah, no, well, you've got a bunch of people who made out like bandits on this, including a whole bunch of people in the media, by the way. You've got a bunch of millionaires in the media and billionaires, owners of the media. And you know, they really don't want you to know how the manipulation has been going on. Thank you very much. Rupert Murdoch would be very happy if Americans just thought that, well, it was a few bad apples, just like Guantanamo. You know, it was just a few bad apples. No, it wasn't. It was Phil Graham. It was Ronald Reagan. It was an ideology or ideology, depending on what part of the country you come from or the world. It was an ideology that says we should leave everything up to the wealthiest among us and let them run everything because they know how to do it. They're the masters of the universe. And it's an ideology that's wrong. And it is time to be tracking some of these guys down and at the very least, let's take back the money. I mean, this is just incredible. Abby, is it Abby in La Crosse, Wisconsin?
Hi, this is Abby in La Crosse.
Abby, thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate and respect your insight in economic issues, and I hope you can help me solve a quandary. As an environmentalist, I'm aware that our consumption is destroying the planet, but our economy is dependent upon growth and consumption. The fact remains that resources are finite, so we can't grow forever. So how can we reconcile that need to reduce our consumption with that need to fix our economy? I think we really have to rethink how our economy is designed.
Yeah, there's two pieces to it, Avi, and you're right. We do. We need to really seriously reconsider what it means to have a sustainable economy. And this is something that I wrote a chapter about in the book that I'll have coming out soon called Threshold, The Crisis of Western Civilization. And basically, there's two issues. One is, how do you design an economy that doesn't require continuous growth? And I think it's possible. And two, how do you change the way that consumption happens so that it is lighter on the earth, the footprint is lighter on the earth? And that has to do with things, and we're doing that, by the way, in some ways. That has to do with things like recycling. You know, the major source of steel now in the United States is not iron ore out of the ground as it was 30 years ago. It's recycled iron. And that's one, you know, small example of many, many kinds of things. But those are the areas, and these are, you know, really solid and serious questions that we're going to have to deal with, Abby, is how do we build an economy that doesn't require continuous explosive growth, but that does grow along with our population? But then, you know, you get to the second issue, and that is we're pushing 7 trillion people on planet Earth. We're talking, you know, trillions of tons of human flesh here on this planet, and 7 billion people. And that's it's unsustainable. We're consuming half of all the food produced on the planet right now, the net primary productivity of the planet. And that's not sustainable. So we have to get our population down. And frankly, you look at the whole variety of ways to reduce population, and the single most effective one is to empower women, to give women equal power with men. And we need to be working in that direction all around the world, and that in itself will start creating a more sustainable economy. It's all linked together.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Remember where we used to.
helping you win the water cooler wars. Tom Hartman here with you.
Chicken farmer went out one cold and windy night.
Oh, it's our ghost chicken alert.
He had a bad feeling something wasn't right. Suddenly a giant chicken hit him right in the eye. It was the sight he dreaded. Ghost chickens in the sky.
Yep. Well, this is the locals from Kingsford, Staffordshire, are reportedly scared by a large flock of pigeons.
Farmer had raised chickens since he was 24. A working for the colonel for 30 years or more. Killing all the chickens and sending them to fry. Now it's payback time. For ghost chickens in the sky.
Can you imagine what would happen if Colonel Sanders died and went to heaven and discovered God was a chicken? Anyhow, the sky witnesses saw the thousands of birds. They compared the events to Armageddon, according to the Daily Mail. The sky was black, and I thought it was an earthquake was going to happen or something, says birdwatcher Terrence O'Dell. I described the sight as like a swarm of gray locusts. Well, I'm telling you, people in these towns, when these kind of things happen, what you need to do is find out what the government's up to. Didn't you notice at the inaugural address? I mean, I was standing right there just 30 paces from Barack Obama and George Bush, and I look up, and what do I see? Hundreds of pigeons! The robots are watching us.
Please go have a burger and pass the colonel by, and maybe you'll survive. Ghost chickens in the sky.
There you go. 36 minutes past the hour. Anything goes Friday. Tom Hartman here with you. And Fred, I'm sorry, I don't have a city for you. Where are you calling from?
I'm in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, just outside of Detroit.
Yep. Okay, so what's up?
Here's the thing. Back in the early 80s when Reagan was president, I was working for the U.S. Postal Service. I retired a few years back. And early 80s, we were given this opportunity for those of us who had already been employed when he, back I think it was 83 or 84, offered us an opportunity to leave civil service and join a combined Social Security 401k type deal along with a small percentage in civil service. And over the years, I had three final only opportunities to join Social Security and put my money into a either some sort of stock or stock and bond fund. And it was never explained fully. And I said to them, I said, you know, I'd like to just stay in civil service, and if I want to invest in the stock market, I'll take a risk portion of what I earn. Well, I never got involved in stock because I didn't trust any of the market makers. And I think a pension, whether it's civil service, which no longer exists in the traditional way that I joined, or Social Security. And if you want to invest in the market, there's every opportunity if you wish.
Yeah, exactly. But, and that's my point, Fred, is that we need to go back to a pension system because a pension system actually works. It actually provides people with security. And there have been all these attempts to privatize these pensions. And why? Because they want people in the stock market. Why? Number one, they want to take your money.
Yeah.
Right. Look at where you now somebody is making money off your money. Whereas with Social Security, nobody's making money off your money. And, you know, there's no bank or corporation or insurance company or something that's making money off your money with Social Security. So number one, they want control of your money. That's why the Republicans are so, oh, we got to do something about Social Security entitlements. We got to and privatize this whole pension system, you know, and let's make it a savings account system. And number one, and number two, as I said, they want Americans to think that they are part of the investor class. And I'm sorry, the people who are really part of the investor class have hundreds of millions or billions of dollars out there in investments, and many of them, even as bad as things are. I know some of them are having a tough time, but many of them are doing very well. Thank you. Thank you very much. John in Abilene, Texas. Hey, John, what's up?
I have a possible solution to the Republicans' complaints about what to do about the prisoners in Guantanamo.
Okay, what's that?
Well, using the precedent of Robert E. Lee's estate becoming our Arlington National Cemetery, we can use the eminent domain to take Bush's ranch down in Crawford. and use that to construct a facility. We could even let him live there. He can be warden emeritus.
He'd probably like that.
He probably would.
Amazing. John, thank you very much for sharing that with us. I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening to us online there in Abilene, Texas. And I didn't know the Robert E. Lee's estate was what became Arlington National Cemetery. And thank you for that little bit of trivia. Speaking of Texas, Dan in Flower Mound, Texas. Hey, Dan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I had a question. It's kind of dovetailing into your thing yesterday about the NSA stuff. I've always wondered, whatever happened about the anthrax stuff at the Senate office building? And I never really heard what happened, but, I mean, I'm thinking if all the senators were out of the building, that's a great time for Rove and his operatives to have done a bunch of spying, and I didn't know if there was any news on that, or if something needs to be reopened and looked into that. Or
It does need to be. There needs to be a good, serious investigation of it, and I find it weird, frankly, that the Bushies are running around saying, we haven't had a terrorist attack on U.S. soil since 9/11, when, in fact, we did. It was the anthrax attack, A, and B, look at the timing of the anthrax attack. They were preparing, the Senate was preparing to debate the Patriot Act. And there were only two men in the United States Senate who could have stopped that thing, because this was right after Jim Jeffords, the Republican senator from Vermont, declared himself an independent, and the Republicans lost their majority in the Senate. And so Pat Leahy became chairman instantly, instead of Arlen Specter. Pat Leahy became chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, out of which the Patriot Act had to pass onto the floor of the Senate. And Tom Daschle was the Senate Majority Leader. He was the guy, he had the job that Harry Reid has now. He's the guy who sets the legislative agenda and decides whether or not it gets voted on. Those were the only two men who could have stopped the Patriot Act, and they had both said that they were inclined to stop it. They had both spoken disparagingly of it, and those were the only two guys who got anthrax in the mail. Now, you tell me that that's a coincidence, and I'll tell you, and if you really believe that's a coincidence, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. That thing stinks, that anthrax attack thing. It absolutely stinks, and gee, what a coincidence now. The one guy that they've decided to pin it on, although all the evidence indicates that it couldn't possibly be him, he just happened to commit suicide or died. Yeah, he committed suicide, didn't he? I mean, it's all very nice, tidy thing. And all just before the Bush administration wrapped up and left town. I think that this second terrorist attack on the United States does need to be investigated. And, of course, Leahy and Daschle, They didn't die as a consequence of this, but there was at least one postal worker who died as a consequence of this. There was a couple of reporters who died. I mean, there were people. This was murder. This was murder, and it needs to be looked into. And it was an attempt to influence our legislation. And guess who had to move out of their offices and leave behind all the papers that had to do with the Patriot Act? Daschle and Leahy, and pretty much everybody else. So, anyway, that's my thoughts on that. Jason in Morro Bay, California, listening on KYNS. Hey, Jason, what's up?
Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, I just had a thought for you. I was wondering if you could give me some feedback on it. I think a lot of the credit is bad because scores are going down for individuals because so many people are hurting from the housing crisis. So I was wondering if legislation for removing negative reports for housing-related things on your credit score would be something that might help people to allow them to get auto loans, student loans, future homes, because I'm one of the millions of people suffering from a short sale right across the street and actually trying to move my way up to Portland.
Yeah.
And so I just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I don't think that would be the way to go, Jason, because basically that's saying that we acknowledge the legitimacy of the game that the banks are playing with us, with their 30% credit card rates and their jacking people around on their mortgages and everything else. I think the entire system needs to be taken apart and put back together again. And these banks that are using these scores and playing these games with us many of them need to frankly just be shut down, put out of business. I think that nationalizing the ones that have failed
like we did with the savings and loans, and then run them right, put them back together, re-regulate them, and then sell them back into the private marketplace over time as they're once again profitable, as Bill Seidman did successfully and made a profit for the government, actually, on the savings and loan debacle. I think that that's the way to go. And as far as, you know, people being stuck with bad credit ratings and things, this is a real problem. And this, again, it points to, and this, the insanity, for example, of the bankruptcy legislation that was passed during the last Bush, you know, during the Bush administration, that a startling number of Democrats supported. That made, you know, the reason why we have bankruptcy laws is to encourage people to be entrepreneurs. Henry Ford declared bankruptcy 7 times. If he had not been able to declare bankruptcy, there would be no Ford Motor Company. The bankruptcy laws used to make it possible for people to start small businesses, the major job creation engine in America. And number two, it was a social safety net through which people don't fall. And it's been shredded. The whole structure, the whole financial structure in America over the last 30 years has been gamed. It's been changed around. It's been twisted around so that people like Phil and Wendy Graham can make their millions and have their ideology of, oh, it's just, you know, it's a, and George Bush can make out like a bandit, and Dick Cheney can become rich, and Halliburton can move to Dubai, and KBR can get billions in tax dollars and move to the Cayman Islands and not pay any taxes. I mean, it's just a whole game system that needs to be busted apart and put back together again rationally.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party, and it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
The digital transition is coming on February 17th. Act now and beat the rush. If you haven't called yet, tomorrow is your last day to get Comcast free instant installation. Call 1-800-COMCAST by 3 p.m. today, and we'll install your cable by the end of the day for free. Call after 3 p.m. and get free installation tomorrow. Choose either free limited basic cable for 12 months when you sign up for phone or internet service, or limited basic cable service for just $10 a month for 12 months. Don't wait. Comcast free instant install makes it easy to get ready for the digital transition happening on February 17th, 2009. Instant install ends tomorrow. Call 1-800-COMCAST by 3 p.m. and get Comcast free instant install in your home today. Applies to all video installations. Limited to standard installation of one pre-wired cable outlet. Call for restrictions and complete details. Offer ends January 24, 2009. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to new residential customers. After promotional period, regular charges apply. Equipment taxes and franchise fees extra. For more information, call 1-800-COMCAST.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. January is National Eye Care Month, a time when many of us use our new health insurance plans to get our eyes checked. Sadly, millions of people around the world don't have this luxury. This month, stop by Eyes on Broadway and donate your old glasses, which will be redistributed when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru this March to perform eye exams for those less fortunate. A great way to start out the new year. Donate your old glasses at 2300 Northeast Broadway or learn more at eyesonbroadway.com.
What's worse than losing half of your investments? It's recovering and letting it happen all over again. I'm Bill Meyer, president of Strategic Group, a Portland investment advisor firm. If you're looking for an investment advisor that has a different strategy geared for investing in this volatile market and have $500,000 of investable assets, call now for a free consultation. 503-222-9737.
Real people, real results. Strategic Group.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. One of the perks for KPOJ listeners is getting exclusive deals from our loyal advertisers. Here's one you can't afford to pass up. During January, Floor Trends Northwest is offering free basic installation on any carpet purchase over 50 yards. That's a savings of hundreds of dollars. They're also offering up to 50% off all overstock carpet and hardwood. Now is the time to take advantage of these huge discounts only for KPOJ listeners, only at Floor Trends Northwest in Selwood.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Ain't no use in calling out my name now, like you never done before. Ain't no use in calling out my name, yeah. I can't hear you anymore. I'm walking and I'm thinking, going down this road. I once loved a woman, a child I'm told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. But don't think twice, it's all right.
9.5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you on the True People's Radio program. Jim in Portland, Oregon, listening on KPOJ. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Boy, being of a certain age, I totally echo your rant from the top of the last hour. I have a very brief thing I want to lay on you. Our president, and boy, does it feel good to say our president, said a lot of things, both subtle and profound, in his speech on Tuesday night. But there was one phrase that kind of left me scratching my head, and I'd like to hear your take on it. When and this relates to a call that you had with a gentleman around the bottom of the hour. He said, "We will not apologize for our way of life, nor will we waver in its defense."
You know, when George Herbert Walker Bush said the American way of life is not negotiable, or words to that effect, I don't know if he used the phrase way of life, but I think so, as I recall, he was speaking about the economy. He was speaking about our consumption. He was speaking about our saying to the rest of the world, you know, tough luck. If you don't like it, you know, we're going to take your natural resources and we're going to live high on the hog, and that's just the way it is. The American economy is not negotiable. My sense of it is that when Barack Obama used that phrase, what he was referring to is the parts of America, the secular nature of our government, that are under attack from people like Osama bin Laden in the Muslim world and Jerry Falwell. Well, he's gone now, but the right wingers in the Christian world who want there to be a theocracy, who don't want us to have a secular government, a government that is not run by theocrats. But I honestly don't know.
These words did come in advance of him sort of telling terrorists that we will defeat you.
Yeah, I suspect that he was not speaking about money the way George Herbert Walker Bush was, but rather was speaking about democracy. But it's been such a crazy week for me, Jim. I have not had a chance to sit down and just carefully and thoughtfully read and mark up that speech of his. And I intend to do so over the weekend. So I can't provide you with the context for it, and time will tell. But that is an interesting question. And I thank you for raising the issue, because it's one that we all need to be considering. Is to what extent is our way of life helping to destroy the earth, our economic way of life? And on the other hand, to what extent is the way of life, our way of life, the ideals of this country, a country that was founded on an idea rather than on DNA, something that could save the world? Mike in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on WINS. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Good.
Good, good.
First, real quick, I just want to give you a huge, huge thank you for all the free education that you offer. You're definitely my most trusted source of information, and I've looked smart by accident on occasion by quoting you and not giving credit. And it's just a blessing.
Keep doing it, Mike. it's all free.
Beautiful. I just want to take a step back from the finances for a second and talk a little bit about our natural resources. I'm afraid with everything else going on that it may take a back burner. I want to talk about water.
Yeah.
Over the past couple of years, I've watched the Clean Water Restoration Act kind of get knocked around in the Senate a bit and never really materialized. I was wondering if you knew anything about the Clean Water Act and you know, the changes in language that were made to it in the past couple of years, having to do with navigable waterways and what that means and where we're at with that, really. Like, what are we going to do to protect our water supply?
Yeah, I know it's been significantly weakened. I'm assuming that the Obama administration, this is kind of, I think it falls into the category of no-brainer, that they will be strengthening protections for water in the United States and protecting our waterways and just be about the environment. The area that I'm not so certain that they're going to make the right choice and that concerns me far more, frankly, is the privatization of water. We have now,
right.
In fact, my prediction is that 10 years from now, we will be looking back and saying, why were we all hysterical about oil? The real crisis in the world is fresh water. And in fact, it is for about a billion people right now. London privatized their water supply. You've got major cities around the world selling off their water supplies. The French, there's a French company. Is it Fina or Aquafina? Maybe that's just a brand of bottled water. But there's a French water company that is one of the largest in the world that is buying up water supplies all over. You had the situation with Bechtel down in South America where they came as I recall, it was Bolivia, and privatized the water supply in conjunction with a Dutch company. And they actually charged people had to pay for rainwater that they collected off their own roofs. And that led to riots in the streets, and basically the country or the community, this town, took back their water supply. But this is the direction that it's going. It's privatizing water, privatizing the stuff that literally we cannot live without. And, you know, if they could figure out a way to privatize the air, they would be doing that, too. And that's a huge concern. The selling off of our roads, I think, is a crime against this nation, the privatization of our highways. And that's really picking up steam, particularly in the industrial Midwest, where you've got states that are desperately struggling. And Spanish and Australian and French companies are coming in and buying our roads, and they're going to start charging tolls and taking that money out of the United States. This is all the stripping of America, as it were. But when they get a hold of our, you know, roads is one thing. You know, roads more or less discretionary. But when they get a hold of our water, we're in big trouble. And that's what's coming down the road. And we're already seeing many water wars, political water wars going on out west here in the United States. It's going to get a whole lot worse. And that's an area that I would love to see the administration pay some real serious attention to. Anything goes Friday. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. Tom Hartman here with you on this Friday. Our quote for the day from George Washington. My first wish is to see this plague of mankind, war, banished from the earth. Isn't it amazing that the warriors, the men who have actually been to war, George Washington commanded troops during the Revolutionary War, led the Revolutionary War, saw his men bleed and die, had, what, three horses shot out from underneath him, as I recall? George Washington knew the hell of war. Dwight Eisenhower commanded the U.S. forces in Europe against Hitler. He knew the hell of war. And when these men became presidents, they spoke of almost nothing but peace. And then on the other hand, you get chicken hawks like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney with his five deferments. George W. Bush getting into the Champaign Unit of the Texas Air National Guard and then going AWOL for a year during time of war, something that generally is considered something like treason or whatever, AWOL in any case. And Doug Feith and Richard Pearl and the whole bunch of them. Chicken hawks all. The only warrior in the bunch was Colin Powell, and he was the guy who said, Pottery Barn rules, you break it, you own it. Maybe you should think twice about this. And they said, oh, Colin, go on back to your answer. Anyhow, our quote of the day from George Washington. A couple of days ago, actually over several days this week, we've had callers. It started out with a conservative calling up and saying, why would you want to take torture off the table? Why don't you want torture? Why are you Democrats opposed to torture? After all, if somebody's got information and it's going to lead to, you know, blah-de-blah, blah, you know the story. And I said, it doesn't work. I said, in fact, during World War II, we successfully interrogated Nazis, in some cases very senior Nazis, very hardened, true believer Nazis. The Nazi equivalents of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. We interrogated them successfully. Well, let me give you the actual story here. This is the Washington Post. You can easily Google this thing. It was published on October 6th, 2007, an article written by Petula Dvorak, D-V-O-R-A-K. And the headline is, Fort Hunt's Quiet Men Break Silence on World War II. And I'm just going to share a couple of paragraphs with you, of this story with you, because it is so brilliant, and it's a story that every American should know. It was a one day story in the Washington Post a year ago, and particularly the Republicans, you know, and the corporate press, you know, basically paid no attention to it. I know Keith Olbermann, God bless him, did a thing about it when it happened, but pretty much nobody else. For six decades, they held their silence. The group of World War II veterans kept a military code and the decorum of their generation, telling virtually no one of their top secret work interrogating Nazi prisoners of war at Fort Hunt. When about two dozen veterans got together yesterday for the first time since the 1940s, many of the proud men lamented the chasm between the way they conducted interrogations during the war and the harsh measures used today in questioning terrorism suspects. Back then, they and their commanders wrestled with the morality of bugging prisoners' cells with listening devices. They felt bad about censoring letters. They took prisoners out to steak dinners to soften them up. They played games with them. Henry Colm, 90, an MIT physicist, who had been assigned to play chess with Hitler's deputy Rudolf Hess, said, quote, we got more information out of a German general with a game of chess or ping pong than they do today with their torture, end quote. Several of the veterans, all men now in their 80s and 90s, denounced the controversial techniques and, went on. The article goes on, and you can read the whole thing. It's in the Washington Post. I found it by simply Googling World War II interrogation. I think it was just World War II interrogation, and it comes up as one of the top two or three stories. And yes, that's how you get information from people, and you can get it rather quickly from people by building a bond with them, rather than by threatening and intimidating them. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, the reason why we used torture, the reason why Bush and Cheney wanted to use torture is not because they wanted information, because the information we got under torture was useless. It sent us off on wild goose chases all over the place that led to the death of many of our soldiers. And that has been well documented, that we got information under torture that caused us, that we believed to be true, that caused us to send soldiers into areas that were traps, or caused us to send soldiers into areas where they shouldn't have been, because, you know, people being tortured, they were just pulling stuff out of their ear and saying, here you go, just stop the pain. And we had soldiers die. We had Americans die as a result of relying on intelligence from torture. The reason Bush and Cheney tortured people wasn't to get information. It was as an act of terror. Torture is terrorism. Bush and Cheney are terrorists. And that's why torture is a moral crime as well as a war crime, because it is terrorism. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Frank in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Frank, what's up?
I want to discuss the fact they want to eliminate Social Security, but I want to mention one thing. When I called a week ago when you had that Palestinian, and I challenged him that they took Gaza from Egypt and they took the West Bank from Israel, and he said, I'm making a statement. I'm not making I'm not asking a question. I did ask the question. It was, what right do they have to send missiles into Israel? And he circumcised the question.
Yeah.
But anyway,
circumnavigated the question. Well, here, Frank, let me just, if I may, and I'll keep you on for the point that you called about. But I just want to riff very, very briefly on this, because I think that this is an important point. The Palestinians have no right to be sending rockets into Israel, and B, Israel has no right to be starving people as an instrument of negotiation or anything else. They're both wrong. And the Palestinians, and I've been saying this on this program for 7 years, if the Palestinians really want to have, if they really want to successfully show to the world what's going on, and they really want some, and they really want ultimately political success, they need to take a lesson from Mahatma Gandhi. They need to renounce violence. Every time they send a suicide bomber in, or they send these missiles in, or anything like that, it actually hurts their cause. They need to adopt nonviolence. That's what Martin Luther King did in the United States, and it worked tremendously. It's what Gandhi did, and it got independence for his country of India. That's what the Palestinians should do. On the other hand, at the same time, the Israelis need to renounce violence as an instrument of policy with regard to the Palestinians. And if both of them did, this thing could work out. And it's just a matter of both of them moving to the high moral ground. And the fact of the matter is that during the 8 years of the Bush administration, and frankly for much of the Reagan and former Bush administration, there was nobody who thought that these ideas that I just shared with you were a good idea. They were all about who can beat up who hardest. And, in fact, I would say probably Jimmy Carter was the last person to talk like this. And he nearly brought them together. And then, you know, it was just a whisker away, as Zbigniew Brzezinski was talking about with Joe Scarborough the other day on his show. And then Reagan came into office and blew the thing up. So,
well, yeah,
anyhow.
Golda Meir said that when an Arab mother loves her children more than she hates the Jews, there'll be peace because they keep sacrificing them.
Yes.
By the way, coming back to the economic issue,
yeah.
The Republicans have always wanted to privatize Social Security like they did in Brazil and Chile, and the people lost their money, had to go back to work. Yeah. And the main issue here, another issue that's never been brought up, they want to eliminate the fact that employers have to contribute half. And once they privatize it, you're going to lose your money, and your employer will end up,
Yeah, they get more money. It's reducing their wage costs. And this is one of the reasons that they're gung-ho for 401ks, because when they first rolled out 401ks, you'll recall, you know, 20, 30 years ago, every employer was matching those 401ks. You know, I owned a business in Atlanta, and we offered 401k to our employees. It was what everybody did. And we matched it dollar for dollar. And it was one of those benefits that you do. But it wasn't mandatory, as Social Security was. You didn't have to. And so now you've got companies saying, yeah, we used to match the money, but now we're not going to anymore. Sorry. It's just your savings account. Good luck, Charlie. Hope you don't live too long. You're absolutely right, Frank. And I'm telling you, the reason why Republicans want to privatize all this stuff is because they want to get their hands on our money.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
Anything good in the newspaper?
I'm looking at these TVs on sale. The 32-inch Sony and Samsung flat screens are down to $649. That looks like a pretty good deal.
Those are good TVs, but if you go buy one, you'll be sorry.
Why?
Because Video only has the 32-inch TVs for $549.
That's $100 less.
And they've even got 37-inch TVs for $599.
37-inch TVs for less than the 32-inch TVs at the other stores?
If you go to Video only.
Are those brand new in a box?
Yep.
How do they do that?
TVs are their only business, so they've got to get it right.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or computers, but you will find the best deals on HD TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Jansen Beach, Clackamas, Beaverton, and Salem. Video only.
If you're a woman and you're sick and tired of watching your hair get thinner and thinner, we're about to challenge everything you think you know about hair loss. Because we're going to send you a free trial of a product that separates fact from fiction. A product with an FDA-approved ingredient clinically proven to help stop women's hair loss and regrow hair. It's pure therapy, and it's yours to try risk-free when you call 1-800-600-5203. You're going to be amazed by what you see, because the main ingredient in Pure Therapy literally helps regrow hair and repair damage to give you thicker, fuller, more beautiful-looking hair, maybe for the first time in your life. And its sulfate-free formula is safe even for color-treated hair. Come on, ladies, because it's finally your turn to be free from embarrassing hair loss. Call 1-800-600-5203 and try it free before you buy it. But hurry for this radio-only offer. For your free trial, call 1-800-600-5203.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere. For information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the program where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, not a chance, not a chance, not a chance. Maybe Sheila Bolar, 49, of New York City, is. She got onto a bus, the Broadway bus on the Upper West Side. Complained to the bus driver that it wasn't a hybrid. He said, ma'am, I'm not in control of what bus is assigned to me. Her response? She grabbed his arm and bit right through his jacket, sweater, and thick shirt. Williams, the bus driver, says, she bit through all that. He's still shocked. Yeah, well, hey, let's have some hybrid buses out here. I want to share with you just another little piece from this story from the Washington Post, and then, you know, back to your calls. I know the lines are all slammed, and we will get to as many as we can, but this is so important. This is this article from October 6, 2007. Fort Hunt's quiet men break silence on World War II. I'm sure Sue will put it in our daily stack on our website at tomhartman.com if you want the link to it. It's in the Washington Post, an article by Petula Dvorak. And the guy, you know, I shared with you before where he said, you know, we got more information. This is the guy who interrogated Rudolf Hess, Hitler's number two guy. He says, I got more information out of him, giving him a steak dinner, playing ping pong with him and playing chess with him, than these guys are getting with their torture now. We have no evidence of good, actionable intelligence having come out of torture, and lots of evidence of Americans being killed because under torture, people said anything that they thought we wanted them to hear, and then we went off half-cocked on crazy adventures all around the world. So anyhow, back to this. These 80 and 90-year-old guys who were the interrogators during World War II, nearly 4,000 prisoners of war, most of them top German scientists and submariners, were brought in for questioning for days, even weeks. Many of the interrogators, now the people doing the interrogation, because they had to speak German, were refugees from the Third Reich. You would think, you know, who would really want to torture somebody, a refugee from Nazis Germany? John Gunther Dean, 81, said, we did it with a certain amount of respect and justice. The interrogators had standards that remain a source of pride and honor. George Frankel, 87, during the many interrogations I conducted, I never laid hands on anyone. We extracted information in a battle of the wits. I'm proud to say I never compromised my humanity. This was a top secret operation. During exactly what went on behind the barbed wire fences of Fort Hunt has been a mystery that has lured amateur historians and curious neighbors for decades. I mean, this just came out last year. During the war, nearby residents watched buses with darkened windows roar toward the fort day and night. They couldn't have imagined the groundbreaking secrets in rocketry, microwave technology, and submarine tactics were being successfully peeled apart right on the grounds that are now a popular picnic area where moon bounces mushroom every weekend, whatever that means. And they go through this thing about how these guys did this and did it successfully. This is getting actual, actionable, useful information from a prisoner of war is a very sophisticated and it is a science and an art. And it doesn't work when you waterboard people. Instead, that's a war crime, and we need to keep that in mind, that it is a war crime. Weldon in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Weldon, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Well, I just wanted to readdress this issue about the Palestinian-Gaza conflict. Mm-hmm. And the other day when you were still in Washington, you were talking about the Obama speech, and I was very angry with you. And that's because the oppressed do not reach out a hand to the oppressor. And when Obama says, you unclench your fist and we will reach out to you, that is a slap in the face to all oppressed people in this world. Because what it says is that, hey, we're the military guys. We will make you do as we want. and then what you're going to do is you're going to, oh, let's shake hands, let's reach out now. No, that's not what happens. The oppressed or the oppressor stops oppressing, and then you can reach out. And that is exactly what Israel is doing to Gaza now. And that's what exactly what you're saying, and I'm very disappointed in that, that Gaza, the Gazans should now reach out to the Israelis.
No,
that
I didn't say that, Weldon. Mahatma Gandhi did not reach out to the British. He said, you guys say it's illegal for us to make our own salt, we're going to make our own salt. You guys say it's illegal for us to make our own clothing, we're going to make our own clothing. And when you come and beat us and shoot us and try to put us in prison, we're going to sit down in the streets. We're going to sit down nonviolently. We're going to show the world what brutal criminals you are. That's what Mahatma Gandhi did. He did not reach out to the British. Neither did Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King did not reach out to white racists in Selma, Alabama. He said, we are going to show the world who you really are. And we're going to do it by standing here without violence. Respectfully, Weldon, I think you're misinterpreting my comments.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Here comes the rest of our lives.
It's the place where smart people get their news, the Tom Hartman radio program. Oh, it's one of those news alerts. See, the real slow part is the critical part here. I'll tell you why in a minute.
Baby, take off your shoes. I'll take your shoes.
Yeah, the shoes, that's an important part, too.
Baby, take off your dress. Yes, yes, yes.
We have a two-part full Monty alert for you today. The first from Ohio, a Northeast Ohio man who was front row as a stripper named Tiara was performing her routine. She did a quick spin around the pole and her shoe went flying off, hit the guy in the face, apparently injured his nose badly enough that he's suing for $25,000, saying he's going to need surgery. He wants the stage declared a hazardous area and marked as such. Oh, and when news reporters contacted him, he said he doesn't normally frequent strip clubs, but made an exception when his cousin visited. The second is down in Pompano Beach. Here again, this is incredible. Two in one day. A Margate man suing a Pompano Beach club claims a performer's shoe flew off during a pole dance, shattering the mirrored ceiling and causing glass and the shoe to hit him. This is 35-year-old Charles Prevett. Says the booby trap, that's the name of the strip club, breached its duty when its employee failed to perform a routine in a safe manner. He wants $15,000 in damages. His attorney says his client suffered a cut to his eyebrow, headaches, and nosebleeds. The poor guy. See, going to strip clubs is dangerous stuff. It's not just, you know, that your wife or girlfriend may get a little upset with you. It's hazardous zones. Oh, my. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Jamie in Deer Island, Oregon. Hey, Jamie, what's up?
Hi, Tom. How you doing? It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Before I go on to my point, I'd like to just agree with you 100% that torture gets you nowhere, because the only thing you get from torture is what you want to hear. You never get what you need to know.
That's right.
And you had a caller on the brunch with Bernie in your earlier segment that was talking about trying to get Harry Reid to do the nuclear option on the filibuster.
Yeah.
And I couldn't disagree with the guy more. The filibuster actually serves a real good purpose for the minority, and that's what it's there for, is to protect the minority. the problem we have is that the Republicans have taken it to a new high, and they're actually using it as an obstruction.
Well, the problem, let me reframe that, if I may, Jamie, I mean, maybe you can knock this down, but my take on it is that the problem is that Harry Reid has let them do it. It used to be that when somebody said that they were going to filibuster, just for those who aren't familiar with the word, there is a vote for cloture, for ending debate, to close off the debate. And it takes 60 votes to end debate on a topic, you know, on a piece of legislation or on a topic. And if you can't get those 60 votes to end that debate, the debate can continue. And it can go on for hours after hour after hour after day after day after day. And all the time that debate is going on, no business is getting done by the Senate. And that continuing the debate and refusing to allow a vote for cloture to end the debate, that's called a filibuster. And as you said, it takes 60 votes to break a filibuster. In other words, to end debate, even if, you know, 40 people don't want to end the debate. And it used to be that when somebody said, okay, we're going to filibuster, we're going to continue the debate, and we're going to shut the Senate down by talking, it used to be that people like Sam Rayburn or Lyndon Johnson or, you know, a few of the other luminaries who ran the Senate back in the day would say, okay, fine, start talking. And, you know, LBJ, as I recall, called the bluff of one of the Southern senators and said, you know, go for it. And the guy stood there for like 2 days. You know, he had to literally had to get a bucket to pee in. And they brought pizza in and they brought in cots. And the entire country, and this was about the civil rights legislation, the entire country gets to see what the Republicans have to say. And, you know, and Harry Reid, instead, when the Republicans say, well, okay, we're going to filibuster this, Harry goes, oh, you are? Oh, my. Oh, well, yeah, in that case, we'll just pull the topic. We won't debate that. That's fine. Whatever you want, guys. 70 times last year, the Republicans, quote, filibustered. Not once did they actually filibuster. Harry Reid has the power to force them to filibuster, and he needs to use that power.
Well, I got to agree with you on that. However, he's not using it, so someone needs to step up and either change the rules. I wouldn't do the nuclear option. I would lower the amount of members it takes to end the filibuster from 60 to 55. That way it wouldn't take a simple majority, but it wouldn't take a super majority either to end it. And I agree, they should definitely be there on the floor filibustering if that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because with the shrill coming out of the conservative talking heads now that they hope that Obama fails, I guarantee you we're going to be in gridlock with the filibuster in the Senate
for the next
4 years.
You know, it used to take 66 votes to break a filibuster, and they changed it down to 50 or down to 60 votes to stop a filibuster. And I think that's fine if the Senate Majority Leader would simply force the Republicans to actually filibuster. And, you know, I understand, you know, Harry Reid wants to get things done, and he has gotten a lot of good things done, and he should get a lot of credit for that. I think he's a good man, and he's a good legislator, and he represents Nevada very well. All that said, though, I wish that somebody would camp outside Arnold Schwarzenegger's house, and when that monthly package from Mexico with the testosterone comes, snatch that stuff, those steroids, and load up a syringe and get to Washington D.C. and sneak up behind Harry and give him a good shot in the butt and you know, come on, Harry, we need you to stand up to these guys. Jamie, thanks for the call. That's the solution, frankly. I don't think that we need to change the rules because the Senate Majority Leader won't enforce them. We need to have a Senate Majority Leader who will enforce the rules. And I've been saying this for a long time. It's why I wanted Hillary Clinton to replace Harry Reid. But, you know, that's not how the Senate works. You have to have been around there forever to become the Senate Majority Leader, I guess. Nasser in Granada Hills, California. I hope I'm not mispronouncing your name.
Nisar.
Thank you, Nisar.
Yes. Hi,
welcome.
Tom, just I want to tell you, I know you don't like these kind of phrases, but you are a true American hero. The more I listen to you, the more I love America. That's true.
Well, thank you, Nisar.
What I want to say is the indiscriminate Israeli killing and destruction in Gaza, I believe, has changed the whole dynamics in the Arab Middle Eastern politics, and I would like your intake on this letter or article op-ed in Financial Times by one of the ex-ambassador of Saudi Arabia to U.S. And the letter is so clear, it's a clear threat that America will not have no more allies in the Middle East if it does not adjust its policies. In other words,
you're talking about Turkey Al-Faisal's op-ed today in the Financial Times? Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I have not read it. I have read about it. He ends it by saying, let us all pray that Mr. Obama possesses the foresight, fairness, and resolve to rein in the murderous Israeli regime and open a new chapter in this most intractable of conflicts. That, you know, obviously very strong language, but his point is...
It's very strong. I never heard anything like that from an official of Saudi Arabia.
No, and Turkey Al-Faisal, I mean, this is the guy who was, you know, walking around holding hands with George Bush. I mean, he's...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and
that's
the headline...
The
headline is Saudi patience is running out, and here's a pulled quote from it. To preserve its leadership role in the Middle East, the U.S. must revise drastically its policies on Israel and Palestine. I think that what Israel did in Gaza over the last few weeks has harmed Israel. It obviously has, you know, killed a lot of people. It's harmed the Palestinians, but I think it's harmed Israel very, very badly. And I think that, and this is the debate in Israel, and I encourage people to go read Haaretz, haaretz.com is, you know, one of the largest Israeli newspapers. And you can, you know, this debate is a hot debate in Israel. People are not afraid to talk about it and to speak out on it. And I think it's harmed them. I think it's going to create a whole new generation of terrorists. I think that if there were elections held right now in the West Bank, instead of having a moderate like Mahmoud Abbas and Fatah being elected, there's a very good chance that Hamas would get elected because people are so angry and horrified. And it's just, I mean, I think that that what they did was the same thing that George Bush did going into Iraq, which is exactly what bin Laden wanted. You know, he wanted to get our goat. He got our goat and turn himself into a hero. And the Palestinians now are viewed as martyrs. And there is a, I mean, they are to a large extent.
My question was, sir, what's your intake on this? Will Obama be able to change direction? I mean, considering the strong lobby business in Washington, would he be able to take a balanced step?
I think he can, and I think he has already started that process. But we have to, everybody has to acknowledge that it isn't just Israel bad, Palestinians good, because there have been a lot of people killed in Israel by suicide bombers coming out of the Palestinians. And on the other hand, it's not Palestinians good, Israel bad, or vice versa, you know, whichever I said last time. Both parties need to renounce violence. This is no way to solve these problems. Violence is no way to solve these problems. Both parties need to be looking to nonviolent solutions. They both need to elevate the discourse, and hopefully we now have a president and a secretary of state who understand that.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KBOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hey, what if I told you that ultimately a large majority of American men will face prostate health-related issues? Would that make you think twice about how you can avoid becoming part of that statistic? This is a hint, guys. If you're not thinking about these kind of things, you should be. Every single man will have prostate problems if they live long enough. When you have an unhealthy prostate, you're making frequent nightly bathroom trips, you have difficulty going, and even sexual dysfunction. This is your body's way of telling you something's not right. You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to provide you with all natural prostate support. I reached out to the manufacturer, and they'll be extending a special offer. Buy two bottles of Beta Prostate and get one free. You'll also get a free book written by the formulator of Beta Prostate, Roger Mason. And best of all, it's risk-free, so your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. 1-800-954-0803. That's Beta Prostate, available at 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
If you're eligible for Medicare or about to turn 65, Sterling Health Plans might be your answer for Medicare coverage. Listen to what one of our enrollees, Artie Johnson, has to say about his Medicare plan with Sterling.
I just can't say enough good things about Sterling people. They're quality people and they're caring people. They give me the answers I need and they solve my problems for me, and I appreciate their help. They're the kind of people that I want to do business with, and they're the kind of people that I intend to keep on doing business with.
To learn more about our Medicare plan options, including Medicare prescription drug plans, call 1-800-489-8506 today. And when you call, don't be surprised when a real person answers the phone. That's just how we do things here. Underwritten by the Sterling Life Insurance Company. Real people, wise choices.
Once again, we're visiting with Jim Fisher's daughters.
I'm Molly Fisher.
And I'm Emily Fisher.
So the question of the day is, what are people looking for during these tough economic times?
That sounds like an essay question.
How about just a word?
Safety. People do want safe investments and safe places for their families.
That sounds like a description of a Volvo. But aren't they kind of expensive?
Not really. Right now, using the lease incentive, you can drive home a new 2009 S40 sedan for just $349 a month.
Well equipped?
Definitely. With a moonroof, heated seats, and you'll get 30 miles per gallon on the highway. But pick a color you really like, because people often keep their Volvos for hundreds of thousands of miles.
You're making far too much sense for teenagers.
And you're talking far too long for a 60-second commercial.
Okay, tell people where Jim Fisher Volvo was located.
We're in downtown Portland, at 21st and West Burnside, under the big blue Volvo sign. You'll love the way we treat you.
48-month lease on approved credit, $25.91 due at signing. Details posted in showroom.
Hi, I'm Stefan Aguirre, president and founder of Green Hammer in Portland. Green Hammer's aim is environmental stewardship, maximum energy efficiency, and long-term effectiveness, while supporting our local economy. Green Hammer is the nation's first and only Forest Stewardship Council certified builder, and has received the highest LEED Platinum rating for remodels and new home construction in the country. To learn how Green Hammer is setting the standard for green building, visit greenhammerconstruction.com or call us at 503-804-1746.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, thanks so much to Louise Hartman, to our executive producer, Sean Taylor, to Stephanie Whiteman, Shelley Osterberger, Marcus Hillman, and Michael McDonald in Air America, New York, to Sue Nethercutt and the folks in the chat room, and Mike Toth, who does our audio archives on our website, to our affiliates, our radio stations all around the country, our sponsors, and to you for listening to our program. Thank you so much. Uh-oh. It can only mean that music. It has something to do with Rod Blagojevich. Yep. Rod Blagojevich, in an interview with the Associated Press yesterday, compared his arrest last month to Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor. We always wondered what was under that hair. Clearly, it is not a brain. I don't know. Maybe that's where he was going to hide the money he thought he'd get if he sold the Senate seat. I don't know. Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, with our daily update of news of the world. Hey, Victoria.
You know, Tom, I can see that there is a link between the two events. They both happened.
Yes. There you go. They both happened.
That's it.
So what's up in the world?
Well, we had our second daily press briefing today with Robert Gibbs, which I attended, and I can give you a report on that.
I'm very curious, before you get to the details of it, Victoria, you know, you've been a White House reporter for a while and for a long time, and you've seen press secretaries come and go, and you've seen how the press reacts to them and how the reporters are. And I mean, you're really on the inside there. What's your sense of Robert Gibbs? How's he doing, and how is the press treating him? Is there a honeymoon? Is it going to go away? I mean, let's talk for a minute just about the dynamics of it all.
There's no honeymoon whatsoever. There is definitely not a honeymoon. After yesterday's press conference, there was a sense that he was unresponsive. There was a sense that he was acting as though he was still on the campaign, that he was sort of giving stump speech responses. I mean, he was asked some very basic questions. The first question that he received on the closing of Guantanamo Bay from the Associated Press really was a yes-no question, and he gave a very lengthy response. He had a very basic follow-up, and he didn't respond to that either. So I don't think that people really felt that he answered their questions, though maybe that is the hallmark of a good press secretary from the point of view of the person whose press secretary he is, but people didn't feel like he answered their questions yesterday.
Is that typical for press secretaries?
I think it's more typical than perhaps it had been in early days of press secretaries. But yes, these days it does tend to be typical. It's not what we want. I mean, we ask questions because we want to know answers, because we actually want information in order to write stories or to speak stories.
Because you represent us. I mean, you're the ones who are informing the American people, and we have a right to know these things.
Exactly, and because there's news happening. I mean, there were two or three big news stories today. One of the big news stories was the economy, and because the president met this morning with the congressional leaders and talked about the economic stimulus package, the $825 billion economic stimulus package, and there were an awful lot of questions on that, and the answers didn't seem to satisfy the press, and I think it's largely because the answers were non-specific. And I don't know whether that's because Gibbs didn't have specific answers or whether he chose not to give specific answers, but there was a sense of frustration in the room to that.
Yeah. I'm guessing this is still a work in progress.
So there's a general sense of frustration also, and I think this is part of it being week one, because, you know, phones don't get answered. People aren't on email lists. We're doing pool reporting today. Talk radio news is. So today I actually got my first glimpse of Obama up close and personal, which was a very interesting experience. But normally you get called for when you actually have to go and report to do that so that you don't miss it. Well, there was no call. We're not told where we're supposed to be, things like that.
So they're still working out the bugs. What was your sense of him up close and personal?
Apart from the fact that he's a very handsome man. He's very personable. He's very businesslike in person. That's one of the things that came across to me. He's very compact in the way that he seems to be put together. He had complete command and control of the room. There was no question but that the room was the president's, everybody else. It was almost as though there was a light on him and the rest of the room was in shadow. I don't say that in any messianic sense, but in the sense that he had control of the room.
Interesting. And the details of the news of the day, Victoria.
Well, one of the things that you called me Helen.
I nearly.
Very complimentary. Well, one of the things I found interesting was, as you know, there's been a missile strike on Pakistan killing 18 people.
Oh, my.
Missile strike on Pakistan killing 18 people. And so he was asked about that, and he flat out refused to speak about it in any way whatsoever.
Huh.
I found that very interesting. I had a question for him on that. I didn't get to ask it.
Yeah.
So we don't know whether the policy of the Obama administration is the same as the policy of the Bush administration with regard to missile strikes on Pakistan.
Right. Right. Or was this something being played out that had been put into place by George Bush?
Exactly. We have no way of knowing.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's, you know, it's like Jack Kennedy inherited the Bay of Pigs invasion. He had no idea it was even there. There were 10,000 guys down in Florida all ready to invade when he became president. And, you know, 6 months into his presidency, all of a sudden he discovers this thing.
And given the importance of Pakistan and that people who seem to know consider it the most important country in the region, it would seem to be something that we should know.
Yeah, it would. Victoria Jones of the Talk Ready News Service, talkreadynews.com. You can get all the news of the day. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. Coming up tomorrow, Carrie Lucas of the Independent Women's Forum. We're going to talk about the Family and Medical Leave Act. And Philip Howard is going to join us to talk about life without lawyers. Plus, don't forget, excuse me, that would be coming up Monday. Thank you. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.